This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I enjoyed that.
That was good. We got a little bell. I like that. That
was like the intro bell.
Yeah. Here we go.
What's going on, Jake?
We're doing good. How are we doing today?
Just getting ridiculed every day.
Yeah. So James does this thing, and I don't know if you ever brought this to the air, James, that you do this, but when James is the board op, he essentially, like, he's a little look behind radio. He'll give you cues of how much time he has left before Anthony goes on to do his 2020 update. Instead of just giving him the number, and he does this with a lot of the anchors, he gives him a jersey number. He gives him a player, and the jersey number represents how many seconds he has left. And Anthony has been, you haven't been doing great. You've been batting, like, you're hitting like 180, all right? It's not good.
Wouldn't be that bad if he got at least the Cleveland players.
Yeah, he missed a couple. I'm not going to put him on blast for who
it was. On that? Jeez.
No, but he missed a couple. I won't out him on who it was.
You're missing some of the legends. I mean, I can give us somewhat of a pass. This actually started when I was doing updates and they would throw me numbers. I'm like, all right, well, whose number would that come up with? I'm trying to think of different players for like 30 because I can only think of like Julius Randle, Steph Curry.
Right.
I'm out.
What else? Yeah.
Hey, it's a creative way to spice up the day, but I
keeps things interesting.
I'm just flailing in real time here. All right, first thing. Guardians just traded Andrés Giménez, and Chris Antonetti told the media today they're going to reinvest that money. I don't believe him. I don't think they're going to sign any free agent with that money from the Andrés Giménez trade.
Oh. So for me, is it when you tell me you're going to reinvest the money, are you telling me you're reinvesting the money in the form of this season we're going out and making a push? Or are you saying, okay, listen, there's no salary cap in baseball. When you spend your money, you're spending your money, right? Like, as an owner, you're basically putting it on the table. You're putting your franchise's money on the table. There's no limit. You say, this is what we have. We have to go spend it. If you go into this year and you say, all right, we're going to ride it out with what we have, but then you go into next year and say, now we spend. Is that so bad? Is that such a bad thing? Like, the Guardians were supposed to be a 500 baseball team last year. They were projected to win, what, 81 and a half games? It was a low bar. We went to the ALCS. I guarantee you, look at the books right now, Guardians aren't projected to win 100 games next year. They're probably not even projected. I mean, are they projected to win the AL Central?
They are, yeah.
Okay.
Plus 230, I think.
Okay, so I could see that, but the AL Central is relatively weak at the moment. Like, the Royals are on the come up. The Tigers are on the come up. The Twins flail and miss like they do every single year, and don't even get me started on the Chicago White Sox. That team is... That's called the basement of the MLB, sir. But, like, is it that bad if you take that money and you say, okay, in theory, we're going to quote unquote pocket it for this year, but really we're going to set it off to the side. Then when next season rolls around, we'll reinvest it, because I don't know that you're going to be the best team in baseball this year. You might make a playoffs, might not. We'll see how they play. You're going in with a lot of the aspect of, okay, we're going to have to switch things up. Like, I think Josh Naylor could very well be traded. So you're talking Kyle Manzardo at first base. You're talking God knows who they're going to play at second base. I know we'll have a clip later on that we'll talk about Mike Chernoff and what he had to say on the situation, but he basically laid out as a lot of guys that we like. So, like, is it a Juan Brito? I don't know. I just think you go into this year, sort of see what you have, and then go spend at the spot that you need to spend next year. Or, if you're going to spend, get me some starting pitching.
It's just my issue is that the best organizations strike while the iron's hot. And I'm not naive enough to think that they're going to go out and sign all these big name free agents that are out there. But the standards changed when you went to the ALCS. And that is what is so frustrating about this. That, you know what? Yeah, they weren't supposed to go as far as they did this year. They weren't even supposed to make the playoffs this year, but they did. And they have such a talented group right now of players that why do you not bring in anybody and try and go?
I mean, listen, like, you could go and try to make trades. I don't know if you've looked at the trades that have been made so far this year in the sort of the offseason or the signings that have been made. Like, you're never going to be in contention for a guy like Devin Williams, right? Like, the Yankees are pricing you every time. Juan Soto is like a fever dream if you were able to ever afford Juan Soto. But even like the trades that were made, like a Garrett Crochet goes to the Boston Red Sox, right? I don't even think he's on his second contract yet. But when he is, he's not going to be a Cleveland Guardian. I mean, that guy is absolute electricity. And he just happened to be sitting in Chicago on the White Sox. And they're like, well, let's get him out of here. You have the prospects to trade away. You don't have the money to then re-up on those prospects. So, like, yes, you have to strike while the iron's hot. You also really got to pick your window when you're with these lower-level franchises. The Arizona Diamondbacks are a perfect example. They hit their window. Look at them last season. Missed the playoffs a year after being World Series, or 2 years after being World Series champs. Even the Rangers, who are a much bigger, they have more money to spend than the Cleveland Guardians do. They sort of hit it while it's hot. And now you realize, well, they just sort of hit it while it's hot. Like, they missed the playoffs again. I think they have a little bit more potential, but the idea there is the same. I don't think you have a ton of money, and you do have to strike, but you really got to pick your windows. I think
not a window, though?
Is it a window? Like,
went to the ALCS.
You got taken 5 games by the Detroit Tigers, and you got wiped away in, or yeah, 5 games in a 5-game series, and then also got wiped away in 5 by the New York Yankees.
But you made it to the ALCS.
Yeah, but you showed that you didn't have the guns to compete with New York.
So then go get the guns.
You don't have the guns, Anthony. The guns just went out the door for $765 million. Those were the guns to beat the Guardians. Aaron Judge ain't playing for a $100 million contract. Jose Ramirez shouldn't be playing for a $100 million contract. Thank God he is.
Brent Rooker's going to play in a AAA stadium this year because the Guardians won't go and trade for him.
I just think when you talk about the pieces that, like, you have to go out and get them, you had a lot of things pieced together last year. It's not just like, well, you go out and replace him with a different second baseman and maybe get an outfielder and this team looks perfect. No, you need about 3 starting pitchers. You need 2 outfielders. You need a first baseman. You need a catcher that can hit the baseball more so than Bo Naylor. Like, you got more issues. It's just they've plugged him well the way that the Guardians always do. The pocketbooks are not deep.
So I was perplexed by his comments today. All right, moving on to the college game. Bill Belichick is the new head coach at North Carolina, for whatever that's worth. Very exciting.
Yep.
I don't think he could have come into college football at a better time. And for that reason, I kind of think this is going to work out.
A better time?
With all the NIL, the general manager stuff coming in, we always talk about how college football programs are mini NFL programs anyways. He just said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, minus the fact that he has to do at-home recruiting. He has to spend his entire time essentially working NIL deals to bring in 18-year-olds and then compete with them. Listen, I don't think that Bill Belichick... I think he came in at the complete wrong time. I think this is a complete joke for Bill Belichick. The guy signed a 3-year contract where he has a first year out, okay? He plays 1 year and he can get out in the second year. I think Nick and JP talked about it. This is essentially your perfect avenue into... You want to leave in a season? You want to get out of here? You think the NFL comes calling? Go ahead. Like, I don't think Bill Belichick came in a good spot. I don't see North Carolina being all that effective. Better than they were? Maybe. It's a 72-year-old coach going to coach college kids. There's not a lot of allure there. He's never done it at the college level. A lot of 18-year-olds coming up, I don't think, have the same sort of love for Bill Belichick and what he did in New England as even kids like 4 or 5 years ago, right? Like when you and I would have been coming out of high school. Bill Belichick was, hey, if you got to go play for Bill, you played for Bill. Now it's like the last 4 or 5 years that they got to watch Bill Belichick was coaching up like a 3-win Patriots team. Like there's not that much there. I don't think Bill's in a perfect spot. I think Bill's in a terrible spot trying to get back into the NFL, and I think he's going to struggle massively with NIL and recruiting. I don't think it's going to go his way at all. Like, North Carolina, again, the bar is not that high. They're not a football school. They'll probably be better than they were. It's not like we're talking Bill Belichick being North Carolina into national title contention.
I just love, by the way, Odyssey betting insider Nick Costo said the other day,
okay,
they're going to the college football playoff next year. North Carolina.
Hmm.
Which I don't agree with, but I think long term, I think long term, this is actually going to work. He so said, come here, time this he is gets a mini in, NFL.
The only chance that he gets into the college football playoff, by the way, is they win the ACC.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which all is right. not happening.
I think you mentioned it earlier. Bill Simmons, cousin Sal, both said the Browns as their NFL team with the bleakest outlook. I agree.
Well, there's no argument here. I talked about this on Wednesday. I also agree. This is terrible.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Terrible. This is the worst spot they've ever been in. Absolute downright garbage. I mean, like, do you even have a team that you can compare to that you think slightly rivals them?
No. So at the beginning of the year, I have a lot of Patriots friends, and I asked the question, who's in a better spot moving forward? This is the beginning of the year. Browns or Patriots? And they all laugh me off. Oh my God, the Browns are in the better spot right now. And I kept revisiting it every week. Who's in the better spot? Who's in the better spot?
Patriots feel like they're in a much better spot right now with Drake May. Like, I think I pointed out the Jets. It's like a bad situation, but I still feel like they have a really good defense. A lot of young pieces on the offense, like Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. Like, you have a lot of things where you look at and you go, I want to keep that guy here. Browns don't have that. The only comparable situation that I think is also really bad is like New Orleans.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
they're the only other one, and they're in cap hell. They have no quarterback. I mean, Derek Carr is essentially, I mean, he should be out of there relatively soon because they're going to go into a full rebuild. They're starting Jake Haener this week, by the way, New Orleans Saints. Drafted Spencer Rattler, starting Jake Haener. We're at a low bar. Like, they're right there. I still think the Browns are in a worse spot because their cap hell is, like, borderline over, and they can just blow it up and say rebuild. The Browns can't do that.
I want to know the last time two Fresno State quarterbacks started for the same NFL team the same year.
I believe the last time that happened would be never. It'll be this year. That'll be a record. Thank you very much.
All right. Have you seen these lights in New Jersey?
The lights?
The alien potential lights. The afternoon show's infatuated with them.
Yeah, I saw like one little thing on it. I honestly didn't look that much into it. So if you have any extra information, please enlighten me as I now search them up to try to see what we're looking at.
Oh, I just think they're planes and people playing pranks now that it's gotten a bunch of social media traction. I don't think this is aliens. I'm a full believer in aliens. I will talk that to death, but this is way too mainstream.
Hmm. I'm looking at the light. I don't know that I'm buying full plane here.
You don't think so?
That's a really big light to be a plane in the night sky. That is not, it is not striking me as airplane in the sky. I don't know that that's 100% that. I'm not saying it's a UFO off the rip. Listen, Nick is your full UFO and alien conspiracist. Okay, he'll dive straight into it and go full believer. I don't know that I'm going there, but I don't think that's a plane either.
Really?
I think I'll buy in. I'd buy more into UFO than plane on the light. That at least the picture that I'm currently seeing, I don't. That's not a plane.
If they are aliens, I find it hilarious they chose Jersey Shore to show up at.
That's a terrible spot to pick. Like, imagine, so in theory, let's say, like, aliens come down, you know, they want to take somebody back up and bring them around. I know Nick joked that it was going to be him. You take somebody from the Jersey Shore, I mean, your pickings are slim, right? Like, that is, you are not bringing in a good representation of the human population if you pick somebody from Jersey Shore. Like, wouldn't you want somebody, like, diplomatic and nice? No shot to anybody from Jersey, but that is not their kind of, like, the East Coast and New Jersey specifically are not, like, the kind folk, right? Go find somebody in, like, Midwest, and I'm not talking Ohio Midwest, like, go pluck a farmer out of Iowa. Like, he'll probably be pretty nice to you. He'll tell you what things are about. I don't think you want to pick the guy on the shore.
You don't want Snooki to be our human representative?
If Snooki is who gets taken up, we're going to be done. We're absolutely over. It is toast. For all of human population. If they can end us, they will end us if they get Snooki. And she'll be back down very quickly. I can guarantee you that. All right. That was Change Your Mind with Anthony Allan. Anthony, good job. When we come back, we'll jump right back into the Browns. How do you go about fixing this thing? We talked running back or wide receiver. Well, can't miss the biggest position of all either. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on the Fans. And don't tell me DTR, because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the DTR conversation. Don't tell me that. Keep, if you want that one, I'd go find it somewhere else, all right? Like, hey, don't bring me DTR on the table, okay? You fifth-round quarterbacks, No. That is not where we're going. Fifth-round quarterbacks who are drafted to be Deshaun Watson's backup who have been here for, what, already two seasons and clearly is not getting the run? There's probably a reason. If he could do something and could really, it'd be a big difference maker, he'd be in the game. I can promise you that. Like, Brock Purdy got a chance after being Mr. Irrelevant because they saw something, not because they drafted him in the seventh round and thought they had to play him. We were talking about what would be more important, a running back or a star wide receiver. Guys, I think, like, listen, if you got either, I think you'd be really happy just because a lot of question marks at either spot. I just think the way that Kevin Stefanski runs his offense and prefers to run it, not necessarily how he's done it this year, but he prefers to run it, is to stick with the ground game, really lean into it, and then a lot of your passing stuff is opened up off of play action, right? And you get teams to bear down on the run, and then you use that as a means to be able to pass the ball as well. Like, the Joe Flacco version and the Jameis Winston versions of the Browns are not the ideal Kevin Stefanski offense. Like, the team has looked good in won games and scored a lot of points during that stretch. That's not the way that Kevin Stefanski wants to run his game. Don't get that misconstrued. He would prefer there to be a strong run game. You just haven't had the opportunity to have it. So again, I told you guys, like, maybe it's not necessarily that you go, and I think a running back more important than a wide receiver. It's not necessarily that if you're looking in the draft, you have to take him in that order. It's more so that you better hit on the running back if you, not necessarily miss. You can't miss. We've established that. But if you don't fully hit on the wide receiver, if he's not an absolute bona fide superstar and able to be like a number one, you can live with that. If you draft a running back who then isn't going to be number one, you have a problem. Because Nick Chubb has shown that the chances of him being a number one are, I mean, they're waning with every single game that he plays and that you watch him run the football. And on top of that, like, even if he was fully healthy, 28, most running backs don't get much farther than that. Not at peak prime level experience. I mean, James has been doing research on research behind the board to see if the things that I say feel like they can pan out in the past few years. And it's like, there's some instances where it works, there's some instances where it doesn't. It's just, you have to go and sort of be able to lock down the idea of, yes, I need the running back and I need the wide receiver too. I think I would just rather make sure I have the running back. That's not the only case for the Browns, by the way, though. You want to talk major issues, clearly the one on everybody's mind, you got to look to the quarterback. And if you're going to talk how this team sort of switches things around, guys, I've told you with Jameis that it's a 7-8 win experience, and you're basically getting put in the worst spot that you possibly could if you're the Browns. The only way to climb out of the hole, I think, is the only way that basically every team in the NFL has done it. It's drafting a quarterback and have it work. It's not just that this guy has to be a first round, an absolute stud. It's not saying that if you don't get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders that your chances of competing next year are completely over. But why not take your chance at a quarterback? And if you don't think you have one in this draft, I mean, you're not going to get the one in next year's draft by what? Winning 7 games and taking a pick at 16? How is that going to get you the quarterback that you want? I think we all want to live in the idea, as every team does, that their team's going to be competitive in the next season. You are going to win games next year. The Browns will tell you that's what they want to do. I think we all live with the idea of you don't want it to be over, even if it's just a season. Even if the Browns commit to the one-year retool, you don't want them to be bad next year. Because nobody likes watching.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Watching bad football. You've watched enough bad football if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, okay? You've seen your fair share. It's... I don't want to watch it either, but you have to be realistic. Drafting a quarterback is the way out of it. Playing the quarterback that you draft is the way out of it. Because even if you go down with the ship and the guy doesn't pan out, guess what? Probably sitting near the top of the draft, and you take another bite at the apple. You get one more shot, take another quarterback, take him high this time, and see if you can get him. See if you can get the guy. Like, you don't want to be in that spot, especially when you're the Browns and have had done that time after time after time. But that is the spot that you're in again. You can feel better about some of the pieces around. Like, this team is far more talented than a lot of the Browns teams that have been put out in the last decade, 2 decades. You can feel better about that, but it's not you put Jameis Winston in and things are magically going to go the way that you want. That you take him for 1 year, he wins you 8 games. Let's say, high scenario, he wins you 9 games. You slip into the playoffs. Probably a first-round exit, but you slip into the playoffs. You're still drafting at 18, and you still don't have the fix. You're just going to keep rolling it back over and over again with Jameis? Like, that's not the answer either.
But question for you. We talked about the Lions earlier, right?
Right.
In 2023, they drafted Hendon Hooker.
Who hasn't played a game.
He has not played a game, but that could be looked at as like an insurance policy to what Jared Goff maybe wasn't going to turn into. So would you be okay with they're going to go and re-sign Jameis and find some other backup who is just for emergency purposes, and them drafting somebody in the second, third, fourth round even to maybe be able to go fill some of these other holes, because we know quarterback is important, but you can't win without some other pieces on the outside and an offensive line like we discussed.
Yeah, but so the big thing for me is that, like, I don't think that you're winning next year. And I think Jameis can get you to, like, the 7-8 win mark, but you don't want to be there. For me, so when you get Jared Goff, and if that's the scenario that people want to draw on, like, we can talk about that, the whole situation with the Lions. Jared Goff was a former, what, number one overall pick? High first round. I think he was number one overall. So was Jameis Winston, right? Like, he was also top of the first round. Jameis is now 30 years old and has not played in a playoff game. Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl. It was an ugly Super Bowl. He went to a Super Bowl. This wasn't just some, like, reclamation project they were taking off their hands. It was, hey, we have an aging quarterback who's not really fitting the system right now, and he's been in Detroit maybe a touch too long. Why don't we just go get Jared Goff, who's going to fit more of the system we want to go to? We'll put him in place, get him some pieces around him, hope we hit on our draft picks, and you move on. Jared Goff was not some... He wasn't a backup for the Rams for the last five seasons, right? Jameis is a different story. That is not Jared Goff. And Jared Goff, by the way, one of the few reclamation projects that have actually turned out well. Like, almost every other team in the NFL, aside from right now the Pittsburgh Steelers, have had to draft their quarterback. Now, I guess if we want to draw on the Vikings, but I had already told you how I feel about them. Like, you've had to draft the guy. The Lions are really the only one who have it, and again, it's not the same situation as Jameis. So, no, I don't think the situation that you should go into then is put Jameis on the front lines and draft an emergency guy, because you can take bite after bite after bite, but when you're taking guys in the second, third, fourth round year after year, you're just lowering your chances. Worst thing comes to worst, right? Let's say you take a guy, you could take him in the seventh round for all I care. Probably not what I would do, but sure, you can take him wherever you want. You have that guy, either things work out and look really good and you're like, well, he could be the guy of the future. You found a diamond in the rough, or you're really bad and you have a much better pick next year and a much better quarterback class, right? Like, even if you ended up with eight again, it's a much deeper quarterback class at the top. It's much more top heavy next year than it is this year. You don't want to be taking a guy after Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward right now. Maybe later in the draft, like if you're taking a flyer like on a Curtis Rourke or something, sure. But you don't want to be in the spot of, all right, well, we got the guy. He's not the guy. Let's set him behind. And then you're just playing what-if games. Like, here's an emergency quarterback. Jameis isn't working out the way we wanted to. Now let's go to him. No, just make him the starter for the rest of the year. You don't have to bring back Jameis Winston. As much as it might help your chances to win next year, in terms of turning your franchise around and getting back on track in the fastest way possible, that's not it. It's exactly why I've leaned into the idea of Daniel Jones being here. Right? Because I don't think Daniel Jones wins you seven or eight games. I think you get two results with Daniel Jones. Either Kevin Stefanski figures out a way for the guy to read a defense, and he's a former first-round pick who hasn't had that long to play in the NFL, and maybe he wins you 11, 12 games. He's been playing on a bad Giants team, hasn't had a real opportunity to go win playoff games, aside from one. Or you get everything confirmed what you thought about Daniel Jones, which is not a very good quarterback. You win three games. You can record scratch this. It's fine. You win three games, and then you're drafting at the top again. It's both sides of it. Like, it is the exact same thing to me as drafting a quarterback. Like, I don't love the idea of Daniel Jones. James is in surrender Cobra mode, okay? I don't love the idea of taking and trading or signing Daniel Jones, but it is that scenario for me. Like, you win either a ridiculous amount of games and you flip him around, because I don't think you have that same scenario that you have with Jameis Winston, where you know what Jameis is. I think Daniel Jones is a different scenario there. Or, again, everything you thought about Daniel Jones turns out to be true. He's a bad quarterback. He can't read a defense. The arm talent's not there. And you do the exact same thing. Thank you. You do the exact same thing. You win three games. Same thing as drafting a quarterback in the fifth round, right? You have to go to one or the other. The worst scenario is that you win seven games. So I just draft a quarterback. I don't love the idea of Daniel Jones, but if you're going to go a veteran, like, that's the type of guy that I look at who can put you on either end. Either you're competing and he's good and you figured it out, or he's really bad and congratulations, so are you. Welcome to the top of the draft.
I think Daniel Jones is more like Aiden O'Connell, not like Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston is in that happy medium of average, mediocre. Daniel Jones is just bad.
This is great. It's a perfect scenario. Bad quarterback isn't necessarily bad scenario next year.
Oh, no. You can't. We don't have time. But you can't just throw out Daniel Jones and think that's going to be good enough. As even just for PR purposes, just as a, we got a guy. Daniel Jones doesn't instill the.
Either did Joe Flacco.
No, I disagree. People were a little more excited for Joe Flacco and the idea of Jameis Winston than a Daniel Jones.
Anybody excited for Joe Flacco coming off the couch in November was excited because they're reminiscing about the Falcons of the 2000s. Or the Ravens of the 2000s, excuse me. That's what people were excited about if you were excited about Joe Flacco. All right. We'll talk about the quarterback situation more when we come back. I also just want to get thoughts on this Chiefs game. It's Jake Volnick right here with you guys on The Fan. Talking to you guys about how to fix the Browns quarterback situation, which I think is the only way possible, by the way. Like, I'll bring out Daniel Jones and I'll make James want to throw his head into the table here. But I really think that the only possible way to do this is just take bites at the apple in the draft. Like, that's how every single team has shown that they've done it in the AFC. Specifically, the AFC is more so inclined to that thinking.
I got a question for you. So what is the purpose for filling the QB position next season? Right, we know that we don't always just draft guys to instantly play the next year.
Right.
Some guys are developmental. Some guys are going to come in their sophomore year. So are you looking to acquire a quarterback next year that's going to get you to the playoffs, potential Super Bowl contender? Are you looking for the QB of the future? Like, what is your purpose behind filling the QB position?
I want one of two things, right? There's two possibilities that I'm okay with. Either you take a quarterback wherever you want, I don't care where it is, just let Kevin Stefanski or who else just take their guy. You draft him, you start him, and it's okay if he's bad, it's okay if he's good. You took a shot. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, right? Like, you can lose games, and you could be the worst team in the NFL. That is one position for me. I don't care if you're at the bottom of the barrel, right? Because then the year after, in comes Arch Manning, in comes a relatively better quarterback class as a whole, you get another chance at it. Or,
but that's a lot of money to be having tied up if you're going to draft a quarterback in the first two rounds, and for a team that already has financial issues.
I don't pay the guys.
But true.
I don't pay the guys.
True, but I'm saying we have to keep that in context.
Yes.
We can't just, you know, hey, man, go draft five first round quarterbacks. And if you keep missing.
I mean, I wouldn't draft a quarterback in the first round this year. That's just me. Like, I don't think you'll have a chance to draft Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, and no other quarterback in this draft is worth taking in the first round.
But if they like one of these guys that have been thrown out, the Drew Allert, Carson Beck, who's the other guy? I can't think of his name. But if they love those guys, you're saying you wouldn't feel bad if they went and got
a second, third round, okay. I also think you could take quarterback in like the fifth or sixth round. Like,
you're starting quarterback in the fifth round?
James, this is
as
the purpose.
A plan. I'm just saying, right? As a plan.
Yes, like this is my point. I don't care how he performs. Like, if he's bad, I'm okay with that because I'll just draft another one next year. It's the idea of if you went into this year and started DTR and you were the worst team in the NFL, you'd be taking Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders at the top of the draft. Shedeur would never come here, but same thing. Like, you take a guy, you take a shot. If it works, great. If they look good, if they look promising, be like, okay, that's the guy. We'll let him develop for a couple of years. You just move on with him. If he looks bad, you're in a position to perform. The two things that I want to happen are either the Browns are very bad and have good draft capital in 2026 to draft a quarterback. Right? It's not an ideal scenario, but when we're talking about getting this thing back on track and back on the rails as fast as possible, a two-year gap is not that bad. Or you get a guy that's going to be a deep playoff contender who is going to be there for, again, years to come, not just a stopgap or a bridge quarterback. Like, if you can find, that's why I throw out a name like Daniel Jones, who's still relatively young, who has a lot of years left in the NFL if he figures it out. Because you wouldn't just have Daniel Jones and then be like, oh, gone. You would have Daniel Jones and then be attached to Daniel Jones. That is why I throw out a guy like him. I don't necessarily have the most faith, but I want you to be the worst team in the NFL, or I want you to be competing for a Super Bowl. Or at least a deep playoff run, I guess.
Before you get to Todd, if you're the worst team in the NFL, in 2026, yep. when it's time to re-sign Myles Garrett, what do you think your options are to keeping the best player on the team that anchors your defense? It just doesn't feel like a good plan for the future. I get it for the immediate now, but you still need to prepare for 2026 and 2027 when you're going to have some money. So that's why I'm not necessarily so gung-ho on just going to get a quarterback by any means necessary, no matter what, and just to try to give yourself more chances at the Apple.
Well, I mean, what are you selling to Jameis Winston, or what are you selling to Myles Garrett next year with Jameis Winston if you have him?
We're at least professional, and we're at least going to be average with a chance to make some noise if we can survive health and we can maybe get some pieces in the draft that – as our bridge, we can get to the next couple of years, and now we have a young core to pair with some of these older veterans on the way out. I think that might be a easier sell and give more confidence to the guys in the locker room.
You know what I think you're selling with Jameis Winston next year? I think you're selling the idea of, congratulations, Miles, you like to play for mediocre football teams? That's what you're going to be playing for the next 6 years.
You got a chance to be better than mediocre. I think you got a chance to get... You're not going to have to play the top teams in the league next year because of your record this year. So next year, the chance to get the 9-10, a lot easier because you probably won't be playing the Chiefs. You may have 1-2 first place teams outside of whoever's in our division on the record all next year. So I think next year your chances of being respectable and it looking promising, because you can just sign him to a 1-2 year deal. You don't have to lock him up. I just need to be able to have something that, because then even in 2026, 2027, I can go sign a guy and I got money now. I got money now and I got a team that, look what I did with Jameis Winston. Could you imagine if I gave you $35 million, what you could do here? I think that's a better sale than throwing these darts at the draft when I can always figure out a way to go get some picks to try to move up.
You know the best record for Jameis Winston is in the season?
I think the most wins he's had is 9.
Correct, 9-7 in 2016. They did not make the playoffs.
The 33rd year, right?
I believe that is the 30 for 30. Or no, that was not the 30 for 30.
That was the year before.
That was 2019 was the 30 for 30 year. That was where he went 33-30. No, but like, that's the whole point, though. You win 9 games. 9 games. And those were good teams, by the way. Like, Jameis was not playing on some bum Tampa team. Okay, like the 9-7 team, pretty good. The last year he's with Tampa, 7-9. Now, I get you went and got Tom Brady, but you got Tom Brady and you won a Super Bowl.
Could Jameis Winston do what Sam Darnold is doing for us this year? Have us looking where, hey, if he doesn't throw the game away, we're probably going to have a really good chance to win. They didn't play the hardest of schedules. I think I'm not trying to just go the safe route, but that just seems like the more reliable that I can take to the guys in the locker room, to the big name guys. And I think that also sends a signal to other people who want to come here that they're not just forever punting the ball away trying to figure out the next big thing. They're actually trying to build it.
So I get your side of the logic. I think we're just on separate pages where you're okay thinking that the Browns could like win 11 games with Jameis, right?
Absolutely not. No.
That is the season you just laid out, that if Jameis can go out, you don't play that hard of a schedule next year, you can get into the playoffs, maybe you can make a run. To me, if you get the Vikings scenario this year, right? Like the Vikings win, what, 11 games this year, 12 games, whatever they end up winning. I still don't want to be the Vikings. Like, they have their quarterback already drafted, so it's a different scenario for them, whatever. But like, I don't want to be an 11-win team then re-looking for a quarterback because I played a relatively easy schedule. I got to 11 wins. I never really had a chance in the playoffs. I'm right back in the same spot next year. And if I play a harder schedule next year and I end up with 6 wins, what are we going to keep? We're going to keep bouncing back and forth. We're going to win some games. We're going to lose some games. We're going to win some games. We're going to lose some games. But we're never going to win a Super Bowl. That's what you're living for. You are putting yourself in eternal mediocrity.
Well, that's been our life for the last 26 years. All right. Thanks, Jake, for...
Well,
bringing that illumination to me.
Eternal mediocrity would be great for the last 20 years. Todd, you got like 30 seconds. What do you got?
That's what I'm saying, man. They're not mediocrity. We would have been grateful for that. Tillman's going to be in the full blossom next year. I can see Winston getting 11 wins for the Browns, but I'm not having no conversation at all about drafting a quarterback at all. With all the needs that this team needs, defensive line, just go ahead and pad it a little bit more. Winston's just as good as that dude's name slips my mind. He was the quarterback for the Ravens when they won their first Super Bowl. He can
Mark Rippon?
Nah, when the Ravens won.
Oh, is it Ravens? Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer,
yeah. He's as good as that. I feel confident. Just hold on to him. Let him come in. As long as he don't ask for too much. He shouldn't be asking for more than what he's getting now. And
I think he'd be asking for more. But
well,
he's only getting $4 million right now.
Oh, okay. I thought he was getting $7 million.
No, he's getting $4 million. I hope he's asking for more than $4 million. If I'm his agent and he's asking for $4 million, we got problems.
Pick the defensive lineman that you think the Browns could get, and where do you think they're going to pick next year? Because I'm looking at 8, but I don't think they're going to win any more games, so they might move up to 5.
I appreciate it. You good, Don? Appreciate the call. I don't know what happened there at the end, but. I just don't think, you got to take shots at quarterback. That's what happens, guys. The playoff teams right now in the AFC, all but one of them have drafted their quarterback, and that's the Steelers with Russell Wilson, the only team that hasn't. Look at every other team. They have drafted their quarterback. That is the way that you get it done. That is the way that it happens in the NFL. You need to find talent, and you need to find it in the draft. It's not necessarily that, it's not crazy that good quarterbacks don't spawn just out of the first round. Dak Prescott was a 4th-round pick, albeit whatever you think about him, he's won games with the Cowboys. Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. Don't look last night. Don't look. But, he was Mr. Irrelevant. He's leading the 49ers. He did lead them to a Super Bowl last year. It's not just the first round. And at the very worst, welcome to one of the top picks next year. 216-474-0092 or on X at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake. When we come back, get a grip. Jake Volnick right here on the Fan.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.